In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Father Joshi, who is a priest who's been living with me for several years, is from India, and he went to Texas for a few days during his spring break because he teaches at Boston College. And when he came home, he said, "You know, Father Tom, I just want to tell you, on Ash Wednesday, the church was so crowded that there wasn't room for anybody else. They were standing in the aisles." And so I'm thinking, here's our little church at the end of Point Shirley with, we had two masses, and the first mass, there was about 10 people added on Ash Wednesday. The second mass in the evening, we had maybe 75, 80 people. And I'm thinking, isn't it sad? I said, all that we offer here and nobody comes. Well, let me just tell you, we went to church last night at 7:30. We had Mass, and like there were four people that started. You know, there's just going to be four people. You know, we're probably one of the only places in the diocese that do two Masses a day so that people can come to the Eucharist. And I keep on inviting, and nobody comes. But you know what? I keep on inviting. But then when I walked in, there was a woman there, and I had recognized her. This woman has cancer. She's been given 3 months to live. Her sister had come to me just a couple of days before with her two children to pray for her sister Elizabeth. So we did. Now her sister Elizabeth was in the hospital 2 days ago, but now she's out and she's in the church and she's weeping. She has cancer. She has 3 months to live, so the doctors say. I don't believe doctors. Anyway, so what did we do? I said to Elizabeth, first of all, Elizabeth, they're Spanish. I said, "Elizabeth, I'm going to celebrate the Mass for you, for your healing. That's what I'm going to do." Now, let me just say, there's about 9 people in the church, okay? 10 people, maybe 12 the most. But we're all going to celebrate the Mass for Elizabeth, and we're going to pray that God heal her. And then the reading was, you know, yesterday, it was so interesting. The Lord's Prayer, that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's no cancer in heaven. And the first reading was from Isaiah 55, that the word of God doesn't return void. So I just spoke for a couple of minutes, and then I called Elizabeth up, and I called the whole church to come and pray over Elizabeth. The whole church, there's 12 of us, okay? So we start praying over Elizabeth, praying and praying and praying and praying and rebuking the cancer in the name of Jesus, speaking the word that doesn't return void, be healed by the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, something came out of her. She started coughing. Something came out of her. Thank you, Jesus. We continued to pray and pray and pray and pray. Then I gave her the anointing of the sick, and we continued to celebrate Mass. Now, I'm going back to what Father Joshi said, okay? You know, the church was really full. They were all there to get their ashes, and that's wonderful. But, you know, there was Elizabeth, who has cancer. 3 months to live. Our church isn't full, but we're going to pray, and we're going to believe for her. Do you understand what I'm saying? It really picked me up. I'm thinking, you know, nobody comes, but now I'm saying, you know, Elizabeth came, and Elizabeth needed prayer, and Elizabeth left without any pain in her body last night. She was in excruciating pain when she came. Cancer. Caring for the one. Caring for the one. Caring for the one. The one that the Lord sends you. Don't ever despise little beginnings, the Lord says. Don't ever despise little beginnings. You know, I was just speaking on WEZE saying, you know, it's so easy for us to look at Japan and we get so sorry and we get, isn't it awful and isn't it hard and these poor people. And so we begin to ruminate and feel sad. You got to pray and then you've got to look for the one that you can help, because it's easy to feel sorry for the Japanese people because you're going to do absolutely nothing for them. It's a lot more difficult to pick yourself up and start caring for the one person that nobody cares for, to witness to the one person that nobody witnesses to bring to church the one person that nobody's going to bring to church, to bring a hot meal to somebody who can't cook, or to a family who has cancer, or to do something, to bring someone for chemotherapy. In the name of Jesus, it's too easy to feel sorry for the Japanese, because it doesn't cost you anything to feel sorry for the Japanese. Nothing. Doesn't cost me anything to feel sorry for the Japanese. Doesn't cost me anything. But you know, when I put myself out, it costs me something. It costs me something. When I go out of my way, it costs me something. Because you know what? I put my faith into action that I truly believe, thank you, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. Hallelujah. That he rose from the dead gloriously and triumphant. Amen, that he's at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for me. But then I have to put my faith into action. I just cannot just say I believe Jesus did this and did that and the other thing, and then I'm just a dead Christian. No, you've got to go looking for the one. You've got to go caring for the one. You've got to go hearing the one. You've got to go praying for the one. As I said, it's too easy to care for the multitudes because you do nothing about the multitudes. But when there's that one person that the Lord asks you to care for, you know, you might miss it because, you know what, you're too busy. Just like the Good Samaritan, the priest was on his way to the temple. He was too busy. That's right. And the Levite, too busy with the things of church. Until the Samaritan came and picked him up. And the Lord said, which one was the neighbor? And you know, the Jewish people would not even say Samaritan. They wouldn't allow that name to come across their lips in the 10th chapter of St. Luke. The one that was the neighbor to him that picked him up. They wouldn't even say Samaritan. I'm not talking about salvation by works. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, please, stop feeling sorry for the Japanese and start doing penance for them. Do something. Start fasting for them. Start praying on your knees for them. Do something. And who's the one person you need to call? Who's the one person you need to pray for? Who's the one person you have to drive to church? Like, who's the one person that needs to be witnessed to? You know, it's ridiculous. You know, we have this mentality that you know, when something happens in a country or in large numbers, you know, we get sad and when we do we get hurt, and but then there's somebody next door that needs your help and you don't even think about them. See, it doesn't cost anything to be sad about Japan. It doesn't cost you anything. But it makes you feel good that you can be sorry about these poor people. Unless I'm telling you, what they're gone through is devastation, okay? It's more than I could ever imagine. I am facing the ocean right now. The ocean right now. And there were 30-foot waves that went inland. How many miles? I don't know. Destroying, taking people out into the middle of the ocean who died. It's worse than I could ever imagine. But what can we do about it right now? Yeah, we can do penance. We can pray. We can fast. But what about the person next door? What about the person in the nursing home? And again, as I was saying, you know, it's so easy to say, I'm pro-life. Yeah, you're pro-life, all right. What do you do about it? Oh, I go to Washington. Yeah, give me a break. You go to Washington. Big deal. Do you know they stand outside those abortion mills and people are saved because they're the last voice? Do you know that? But who wants to dirty their hands? Like, who wants to get really involved? Not many. I'm pro-life. I vote pro-life. Well, big deal. Big deal. You vote pro-life. What about doing something What about running a baby shower? What about going to a pro-life place that you can answer the phone, doing something? You know, I'm tired of people feeling sorry for catastrophes. It doesn't do any good. The Lord said, tell the people, it's easy to feel sorry for a catastrophe, but it's very difficult to live out your faith. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I fell on the street, you picked me up and you brought me and got me some help. Yeah. It's very easy, you know. It's very easy to speak. Anyone can speak. I'm always speaking. But I'm going to tell you, we didn't have a house full last night, but that woman was blessed last night. We didn't have people standing in the aisles last night. Honest, there was nobody standing in the aisles. There were more angels than people. There weren't very many people celebrating Mass with us last night. But there was that woman who went home without pain. What did I do? Was it something great? No. It was prayer. It was caring. It was listening. And we all prayed. Everybody got out of their seat, and we laid hands upon her, believing that God's going to do something, doing something right now, speaking the word, because the scripture was Isaiah 55, 9 to 11, that the word doesn't return void. It does what it says. Be healed now in the name of Jesus by the blood that was shed at Calvary. You understand? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. Oh, yeah. You know, we at our little church, you know, like today, we're going to be there at 2:30 at the Holy Rosary Rectory. We're going to be praising the Lord at 2:30, okay? So maybe we'll have five people. But you know what? We're going to be there. And we're going to seed heaven through praise. And not only going to seed heaven, what we seed in heaven will come on upon the earth. We're going to sow to the heavens and reap to the earth. And it doesn't seem like you have very many things happening. You only have a few people. But Jesus said two or three, acting in faith. Oh, we're not going to have a committee meeting. We're just going to start praying in tongues. That's right. We're going to start singing to the Lord. That's right. We're not going to have any kind of committee meeting. We're just going to worship the Lord for a while, sowing to the heavens so that the Lord will do something on the earth. Maybe he'll do it in Japan. Wouldn't it be wonderful? But that's not our business. Our business is to sow to the heavens and care for the people who come to us. It's too easy to feel sorry for the Japanese and not do anything. Now, if you got on a plane and did something, that's another issue. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or if you brought supplies, wouldn't that be wonderful? Brought supplies, not bought supplies. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We're all such spectators. We've been taught to spectate, to watch. We're all watchers, you know. We watch. We watch the Celtics. We watch the Red Sox. We watch the Bruins. We watch the Patriots. We watch. There's very few participants. Very few participants that go out of their way, very few, that care for those that nobody else cares for. And it doesn't take much, you know, really doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of going out of your way. It takes a little bit of care, like Jesus going after the lost sheep. When's the last time you went after the lost sheep? When's the last time you went after the lost sheep? Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. When's the last time you went to seek and save that which was lost? Why are you so comfortable? Christianity is not comfortable. The center of Christianity is the Lord Jesus Christ crucified on a cross, naked, drawing all people to himself. And the Bible says, consider him. Consider him who knew no sin. Consider him. Consider him and what he did. Consider him. You have not yet come to shed blood for him.
Stay strong. Consider him. Consider him who died for us, who rose for us. Consider Jesus.
But you see, I don't see Jesus. But I did see the lady last night. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I could have just anointed her and prayed for her and in a minute. And that woman needed ministry. She didn't only need sacramental ministry. She needed to know that people cared for her and loved her. I could have just put some oil on her head and prayed the prayer of the church and then began to do my own business. I could have done that. But this is Jesus coming to me. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. And I'm not telling you I always notice these things. I'm not telling you I'm 100%. I'm not telling you that at all. How many occasions have I missed? How many occasions have I missed? But you know what? It's a new day. There'll be another occasion today for me to care. And he'll say on the last day, I was lonely, and you came to visit me, and you prayed with me. The other day we were at the market basket, and when we were checking out, the lady was from Albania, and she was sad. Now, you know, I had a backache the other day. I wanted to get to the car. I wanted to go home. I wanted to take a rest. But here's a woman at the cashier's place. I'm not dressed as a priest. Or maybe I was. I don't even know. What's the difference? So we laid hands on her and we prayed for her. That's not very much. You know what I'm saying? That's not very much. But believing that God was going to touch her. That we took a minute out of our busy schedule, because we're all so busy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so busy. Get over it. We're such important people that we're so busy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But we took a minute, you know, and we prayed with her. And that can make all the difference in the world. You know, I've received calls years after I've prayed with somebody over the phone. Years. And said, you know, I kept that message when I was going through my chemo. And I listened to that message over and over and over again. When I was in Syracuse, a mother came up to me. And the mother said, my daughter has got cancer. She's got 2 or 3 children. And she said, could you pray for her? I said, let's call her on the phone. Let's call her on the phone. It's not very much to call somebody on the phone. What does it do? So we dialed it, and she wasn't there. I love when they're not there, because I can leave a message on the answering machine. And the woman was so uplifted. She had been so sorrowful, so sad. But somebody cared enough with her mother to pray for her, and she could listen to that prayer on the phone over and over again. Doesn't take much. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take much. Just a little bit of caring. Just a little bit. And I'm not telling you, you know, I'm so good I deserve a Wilkie button. You know what I'm saying? I don't need any Wilkie button or an Eisenhower button or an Ike button. I don't need anything to say. It's just the common thing that a Christian does is he or she cares. It's too easy to feel sorry for the Japanese. If you're going to do something, fast for them.
Fast for them that they'll find the people in the rubble. Fast for them. Feel hungry. Do something. And find somebody that the Lord sends you to.
So that's what he told me to tell you today, you know, and I'm telling you. So I wasn't expecting to say this today, but as I was going down the stairs, crossing the street, I heard him say, yeah, it's so easy to feel sorry for the people in Japan, but what are you doing? What are my people doing for others? Like, what are my people doing? You know, they're pro-life. Are they going to the abortion mill? Yeah, not in your life. Only a few. Only a few. And thank God for the few, because lives are saved. Only a few. Are they running showers for them? Yeah. Don't hold your breath. Are they going out of their way for them? Don't hold your breath. You know, get off your causes and start looking at individuals. Look at the one person. Jesus saw Matthew, the tax collector, and he looked at him and he said, come follow me. And in that moment, he left his tax booth and followed Jesus. Now, there were thousands of tax collectors in Israel, maybe. But Jesus went after that one. And you know what Matthew did? He has a big party for sinners right after Jesus calls him. That's right. So how does Jesus touch the group? Touches Matthew. And Matthew touches his friends. And Jesus is the head of the table. Oh yeah. That's how it happens. But you got to go out of your way. You know, you've got to go out of your way. It's too easy to just love people in the abstract. Yes, I love them in the abstract. Yeah, it doesn't cost me anything in the abstract. It's much more difficult that I'm going to make a pot of soup for the old lady down the street that's got bronchitis. I'm going to go visit her, maybe clean her house, even for half an hour. Maybe pray with her, because she can't get to church. Yeah, it's too easy to love people in the abstract, because it's all a joke. It's what you call, you know, spectator Christianity. When I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. When I was in jail, you didn't come to visit me. When I was sick, you didn't come to heal me. When I was homeless, you didn't give me a place to put my head. And they will say, Lord, and they call him Lord. When did we see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or in prison or sick? And he will say to the goats on his left, you who fail to do it to the least of my friends, you fail to do it to me. Go to the place of punishment where the fires burn eternally. Oh, I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved because the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. Hallelujah. I'm saved because he died for my sins. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved because he rose from the dead and he prays for me now at the Father's right hand and pours out his Holy Spirit. I believe and I trust. But putting that into real life is another issue. And that means you've got to go out of your way. And you've got to get off your seat and stop watching things happen. Standing by the corner watching all the things go by. Yeah, standing by the corner watching all the things go by. Yeah. go do something that only a Christian would do today. There's so much around. Ask the Lord to lead you to one person. Just one person, that's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you need. Today at 2:30, we're going to be praying in the rectory. We're going to be seeding the heavens. We're going to be sowing to the heavens and reaping to the earth. That's right. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. That's right. That's what we're doing, 2:30 at the Holy Rosary. And tonight is Wednesday. We are not at the espousal, but I will be at the Holy Rosary Church. I will celebrate a 7:30 Mass tonight for my Aunt Alder and Uncle Sam. Yes, I will celebrate a 7:30 Mass for my Aunt Alder and Uncle Sam. And you know what? There might not be many people there tonight. But you know that lady said, whom we prayed for with the cancer, that she's coming back. Because she hasn't found a people that want to pray with her. Isn't that wonderful? She's coming back. She left with no pain last night, and she left with a smile. She was weeping when I walked into church last night. God is so good. We might not have the crowds, but we care for the little ones. At least a little, at least a little. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. Today at 2:30 at the house. Come and praise the Lord tonight. 7:30 Mass, followed by adoration. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.